John chapter 12. We all know from last week the turn in our Lord's life and ministry had now begun and is now locked on and focused toward Calvary, to the cross. And we are within a week of him, chronologically speaking, of his crucifixion. And please do not ever degenerate to thinking merely as a historical event. It must always be seen in a theological event. What the cross means, he died for sinners. He died for our sin. He took our plate. He took the cross. He took the curse. He was slain, the spotless lamb. And everything we see here turning, we have learned in Sunday school something, a very valuable lesson in our book about Jesus being the God-man. And that one of the reasons why Jesus didn't know certain things, it wasn't the Father's will to let him know at that moment in his humanity. He never ceased to be divine. The divine nature was always there. The free exercise that was under the Father's will only while he had an earthly ministry. Then and only then can you explain some of the stuff. And I believe one of those moments came right here, which would glaring, horrific, startling. I think maybe this was the moment he saw what was coming. Pick it up in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it and said that it had been thundered, others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. We'll stop there for tonight. Father, we pray. Lord, help us to take a moment to ponder this moment in our biblical history to what Jesus was troubled about. Father, we have seen that he was agitated by the end result of sin in the life, the death of Lazarus, that he was angry, but here he's troubled. Very much like what he experienced at Gethsemane. So Father, we pray that you would help us to understand what it means that he would, who was rich, who was willing to become poor, that we through his poverty can become rich. Life and ministry, miracles, teachings were all good, but now he's turned toward the cross, the hour has come. So Father, we pray for us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, to appreciate what he did on behalf of our sins and the sins of those who will come in the future. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 27 and the first part of 28, it simply said, now my soul is troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here I simply entitled this part, The Anguish of Jesus. Often reading this, we do not take the time to let it sink down deep into our souls to let it really move us spiritually, emotionally. The word trouble means to be revulsed, disturbed, unsettled, horrified. Something Jesus was contemplating or being revealed, seen, got his attention. So in an instant, he was saying, my soul is horrified about what I'm about to face or what I'm facing. We know in part from Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We enjoy that because we know he knew the end result of the cross was a people for himself that the Father had given to him, so with great joy he was willing to go through. But the next words are very haunting. And they said, despising the shame. What shame could he possibly be experiencing? The shame of taking on our sin, experiencing the wrath of his Father, being separated. So the anticipation of bearing the shame of sin and experiencing God's wrath and being separated from the Father caused Christ's soul to become troubled, deeply agitated, unsettled, horrified. This is the side of Jesus we have not seen yet in the gospel. It comes, I believe, right here. All of a sudden, it's like, wow. This proved to you that our Lord didn't go to the cross detached, indifferent, or without feeling. He was human, but he knew his mission. He knew this was what he came for and what he was to do. In his humanness, Jesus felt all the pain associated with bearing the curse for sin. In his humanness, he felt all the pain associated with bearing the curse for sin. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why was his soul troubled? He was now seeing it in all of its blackness and in all of its horrific fullness that awaits him. The Father had willed it to him to know at that moment to see the horror ahead. Here, as in Gethsemane, Jesus in his humanity agonized over the cruel, shameful death that awaits him. But when he came to grip with that, he asked a very simple hypothetical question. Again, verse 27, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. So he poses two questions. Okay? What should I say at this? Father, save me from this hour. Hypothetically, he thought this, but no, that's not what he's going to say. Continue on. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He understood and he knew what he had to do. So though struggling and troubled in his humanity, he still knows, so to speak, what to do and why he was here. And he immediately answered his own hypothetical question in the negative. But in light of that, think for a moment what I just shared with you the last few moments. He saw something, I believe, certainly in a degree that horrified him. We have to grab that and understand the depth of it. And in doing so, he said, what should I say? Should I ask to be exempt from this? No, this is what I was sent for. One that would resolve, I want you to notice the very first phrase in the next verse. Father, glorify your name. Think of the context of that. What a lesson we have here, that he is about ready to experience something that no human had ever will experience. And his concern is, Father, glorify yourself. He didn't even say, glorify me in this. Glorify yourself in this. An astounding lesson for us to learn in life, in ministry, in our calling. Albert Barnes said it this way, let thy name be honored, let thy character, wisdom, goodness, and plans of mercy be manifested and promoted, whatever suffering it may cost me. So Jesus showed us that God's glory is to be the great end of our lives, and that we are to seek that whatever suffering it may cost us. It is worthy to suffer for His glory. Jesus is living it out in this moment here, and He will live it out in reality in a week. When the unimaginable happens in our life, whatever that means, fill in the blank, we need to seek God immediately in prayer, seeking to glorify Him more than our own deliverance, whatever that may be. We learned last week at Sunday, we don't get what we deserve. He doesn't give us the full weight and measure of what we have coming. Here lies the greatness of God's mercy, not getting what we do deserve. I'll never forget years ago, I came across this verse in Job. I stressed it hard when I preach it on Job. Job 3:25, these are words that many of us felt if not quoted. Job said this, for the thing I greatly feared had come upon me, and what I dreaded had happened to me. The most fearful thing Job could ever have considered and realized, he lost his 12 kids, he lost his wealth, he lost so much in a short time. And he couch all that, the thing that I had greatly feared had come. Even at that moment, we need to glorify our Lord. As our Lord left that model for us right here, we see here that an astounding statement, and yet sometimes we just kind of just go on through it and not process what's happening at this moment. Now the Father answers in the second half of verse 28 to verse 30. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. There the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. So what we have here now, a voice from heaven speaks. The Father speaks again. Those of us who know our Bible, this is the third time that the Father has spoken in Christ's earthly ministry, where we heard the Father's voice audibly out of heaven. The first time was in Matthew 3 at His baptism. The second one was at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, and now in John 12. Here John MacArthur said, quote, the Father again authenticated His Son, thus reassuring the disciples that Christ's impending death in no way signified His disapproval. On the contrary, just as He had already glorified His name through Jesus' life and ministry, He would glorify it again through His death, end quote. You know that what happened, we all know what happened when Jesus gets crucified, disciples disperse. Dark days for them for 3 days until the resurrection. The resurrection changed everything. And so here, clearly, His death was not in any way, shape, or form to display or signify or say that God the Father would displease with His Son. Therefore, this was all part of the plan. That's why He said what He said. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And it's interesting when you look at that and the sounding words, the Son, the Father talking, and yet people heard it. They heard it. Not everybody heard exactly what was said. As we know in verse 29, therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. So, kind of like when Paul had his moment in Acts chapter 9 and the Lord is speaking to him, but the soldiers around Paul didn't understand what would be instead. Here, the people heard and were not able to grasp it, some seeking to explain it by the powerful voice as a natural phenomenon, thought it would thunder, or possibly even a spiritual one with an angel speaking to him. The crowd's inability to understand God's voice illustrates all along what Jesus had taught, their hard-heartedness that was common to the people, especially the religious leaders. They've had the light, they had the life, and they had the truth over and over through their life for 3 years was his public ministry involved, and they would not listen to it except the novel and the curious. There were a few true believers. And that's why not long ago in John chapter 10, several times, I'm just going to pick out verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. God's sheep hears the voice. That is what I believe the only way to look at that statement based on verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now, Jesus, that statement was very puzzling. We heard it clearly. We see what it says. They say thunder. They say an angel. They don't know exactly what being said. And Jesus makes this clear statement. The voice you heard wasn't for me. It was for you. So in that, it was clearly to foster hope and faith and reassure his disciples and his followers based on what I went and get back to in John chapter 10, my sheep hear the voice. They understand. As things begin to roller coaster full speed ahead, they need to remember these words, and that last statement from heaven was to confirm their faith to what his purpose was. RVG Taxter, that's his name. I don't know what RVG stands for, but in his commentary he said this, quote, the meaning appeared to be that the voice did not come exclusively for Jesus' sake, since he did not need to hear the Father's audible voice to know that his prayer was answered, as we learned from John 11:42. The voice come to strengthen the faith of those standing by. End quote. Another quote, Linsky, this miraculous reply was for the disciples, that they might hear directly and with their own ears both what the Father had and indeed answered Jesus and what that answer was. It was another attestation of the Father of the clearest and of the strongest kind that Jesus was his well-beloved Son. Within a week, we know what it's like when people want to change the story to make people look bad. They turn the circumstances around and make them look bad. Clearly, God the Father, Scripture, our Lord, is making it clear what is happening, going to happen in a week. The cross. I like what R.D. Sproul said regarding the people thinking it was the thunder or something else. He directly said this, is that what the Word of God sounds like to you? Indistinguishable noise? Or had God in his mercy given you ear to hear when he speaks? When you're lost, make no sense. You can get the basic, but you can't get the sweetness and the thing that the Spirit teaches and helps you to understand what's happening and what's being said. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear with distinction, they hear with clarity, and of course the Spirit enables them as well. So though I know if I went on, I didn't want you to lose what we did learn here. This is a precious thing here. These few verses really summarizes intimately what Jesus seemed like was being revealed. And the lesson we need to learn from it is praise God he followed through, obvious. Number two, the major lesson I think that should also be learned is the fact that when even the worst come to our life, your number one concern is not delivering, it's glorifying him. It is not time to have pity. It's the time to rise up in the power of the Spirit to glorify his holy and glorious name. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will continually give a reassurance through his word, through the preaching of his word, many ways to affirm, stay the course, stay true, stay faithful. I hope and pray that always using Sproul's illustration, I hope the word of God is intelligible, clear, sweet. We know it's a hammer, though it's going to hammer our sins, bring conviction, but it's going to bring an enormous amount of comfort, direction, wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. These things are sweet. Instructive and helpful. We can spend many a day just pondering this moment, this passage, these verses. Oh Lord, let it sink deep. The horror that Christ felt, Christ's resolve, the Father speaking, not on behalf and for the sake of the Son, but for us, that our faith would be strengthened, undergird, fortified. May we honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.